share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I want to give honor where honor is due. Memorial Day weekend is not about barbecues, is it? It's not about a three-day-long weekend. It's about remembering the men and women who died so that we could be free. You know, you always see these posts online. There's two people who died for your freedom, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. Many men and women throughout the years. My wife had to, I don't know where she, I think it was in the town crier thing, you know, that paper, that little newspaper. They had a list of all the wars and all the people, the number of people who served in those wars, the number of people who died in those wars and those types of things. If you look in your Bibles, you can find where King David, I believe it's in Chronicles, or maybe Kings, maybe both places, where King David gives honor to the mighty men of valor that were in his armies. And so today, before we begin our service, you know, before we begin with the Word of God, I want to give honor and remember those who have fallen in wars for us to have freedom. And I'd like to do that just with a very simple moment of silence. If you could just close your eyes for a moment and just give thanks to God and give thanks to those men and women who gave their lives. The Bible says there's no greater friend than one lay down his life for his friends. And so let's just give them a moment's silence and remembrance. Heavenly Father, I thank you for brave men and women, many at very young ages, who gave up their lives so that we could be free. I thank you, God, that you put men and women like this on the earth, mighty men and women of valor, warriors, protecting and serving and laying down their lives for us. We are so blessed, God, that they sacrificed everything. God, many of them, I'm sure, are standing with you even at this moment. Give them our thanks as well. Bless this Memorial Day that our armed troops, no matter where they are in this world, would know that we have their backs in prayer. We admire them, and God, we are grateful for what they're doing for us. Bless them, each and every one, with safety, provision, love for you, and love for this country. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you all for that. Praise the Lord. I want to look at My brain said Mark, but my lips said Luke. one of those days. Oh, you know why? Because my Bible's open to Luke. That's not where it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. We're going to start something this week, and we're going to work on it some more next week. And then we'll see where God takes it from there. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20 says this. It's one of those days, church. I'm at Mark chapter 14 looking at verse 16. Okay. Anybody else at chapter 14? If you are, go over to 16. Follow me along. Wow. Mark 16, 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had sent him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. God, I thank you for your word. I pray now that you will speak to our hearts, that you will change our lives. Lord, that this word would become life for us, and that we would live it in accordance to your will. Bless each one here, and bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. This is known as the Great Commission. Commission is a word that means basically instruction or command or duty. This portion of Scripture. Prior to this in the chapter, Mark explains in brief the events that took place after Jesus was crucified, and how Jesus appeared to the women at the grave and then to the two disciples on the road. We understand that to be the road to Emmaus. And how the other disciples didn't believe them that Jesus had risen from the dead. I always find, you know, whenever I think about this, I think in amazement, the idea that the people that Jesus told firsthand, face to face, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again, they didn't believe it when they were told he rose again. It should be no surprise to us when people refuse to believe in Jesus. When the disciples themselves, who walked with him and talked with him, saw all the miracles that he did, didn't believe it themselves. Until he revealed himself to them. And so, this portion of Scripture, it tells us a few things. I want to talk about a few of these things. First thing is our job as followers of Christ is to preach the gospel and let Jesus reveal himself to those who will choose to believe. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here I am in Geneva, New York, and this is what I do. I preach the gospel. We have a gentleman here who's getting ready to do the same thing in Lyons, Brother Tubbs. Thanks for joining us this morning, brother. I met Brother Andre Tubbs from our little breakfast get-together downtown. And he tells me he's getting ready to do a work in Lyons. God bless you and God bless that work. And I pray that Lyons is turned upside down by what God does through you, brother. Hallelujah. But it's our job to preach the gospel. My job and your job. If there's anything that I could convince the church to do, each and every individual, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, please, please preach the gospel. That's what Jesus commands us all to do. You know, you can get into the gifts of the Spirit, and we're not going to do that today. You know, you might think, well, I'm not a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet. Well, I'm not, one who speaks in tongues. Well, you know what? You don't have to speak. Well, we're going to talk about that a little while later also. Well, I'm not one who interprets tongues. Well, you don't have to be one who interprets tongues. But you know what you do have to do? You have to preach the gospel. That's your job. That's my job. Our job as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing that I love about, you know, that particular scripture, verse 14, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He reveals himself. I shared a few, you know, a little before, where I was in a group of people and we were having this discussion, and I'm speaking on the side of faith. And this other gentleman has this other, you know, spiritual enlightenment or whatever it is. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you whether there's a God or not a God. He can reveal himself to you all by himself. I don't have to do that. But my job is to let you know that he exists. He appears to them and he rebukes their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Can you believe it? The disciples had hardness of heart. What is with these guys? You would think out of anybody who would be ready to accept and receive anything about Jesus, that it would be those guys. But when they were first told, hey, he rose from the dead, they're like, okay, I got to see that for myself. I'm not so sure about this. But he rebukes them because they didn't receive, they didn't believe those who had seen him. And he revealed himself to them. Now, this is one of the things that I love about the commission or our duty. I have a job, he has a job. I do my job, I can trust he will do his job. What if they don't believe? Well, then go tell somebody else. But I am very sure. I love giving God guarantees. I'll guarantee you that if you preach the gospel, some will believe. Maybe not all. I'd love to be 100%. Anybody love to be 100%? As soon as you mention the name of Jesus, all people just bow to the ground and start worshiping the Lord and believing and following him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's not how it works. It didn't work that way for me. Didn't work that way for you. Jesus had to do some work in my hard heart, just like he did with the disciples, before I would believe all of this story that how this Jesus, born of a virgin, lives a sinless life, takes upon himself my sin. Why would he do that? Because God is love, right? He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know, in this world, it's hard to believe that anybody would do anything good for somebody else, isn't it, sometimes? Many times, it's sooner you would sooner see somebody do some harm to somebody versus somebody do some good for somebody. But Jesus is all good. He has love for us. He has forgiveness for us. He has grace for us. He wants us to believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the grave. And if we refuse to believe that, he's going to work on our hard hearts. And if the people that you preach the gospel to refuse to believe that, he will work, let him work on their hard hearts. The Bible talks about when you go into a city, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off, go to the next, right? And so for sometimes it's disappointing that, oh God, I didn't get 100% of them. That's okay. You did your job. You did your part, preach the gospel. He will reveal himself to them. He will take care of their hard hearts. I've heard statistics that I think the number was 7, that somebody needs to hear the gospel at least 7 times before they'll believe it. I don't know how many times I heard it, but I heard it many times before I actually believed it. And so that's verse 14. In verse 15, God gives believers the commission, or the instruction, the command. That's what the word commission means. Instruction, command, or duty. That he wants us to carry out while we're here on earth. Please get this in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. I must preach the gospel. Can you say that with me? I must preach the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus? If the answer is yes, then you must preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. I looked up that word creature because I just wanted to kind of understand a little better. The part of the definition of that word that was used for creature, it had something to do with the, I think the word was rabbinical. It had something to do with the rabbis. When somebody converted from into Judaism is what it had something to do with that, creatures. But the bottom line is souls. Preach the gospel to every soul, every created soul. Go into all the world and do that. We have a newsletter from Bill and Jen Morling who've been doing that. I have another newsletter from how many remember Diana Richardson? Or Deanna was saying, Deanna Richardson. We don't support her as a missionary, but I do get letters from her every now and again. Doing a great work in Thailand. Boy, you want, there's some scary places in the world. Thailand is one of them. So if you remember Deanna in your prayers, she would greatly appreciate it. And then so many others that we support. The Regals out in Switzerland and Tim and Debbie Anderson in Ecuador, Leslie Atona down in Colombia. They're going into all the world. And you know what? We took up an offering a few minutes ago. And when you put your money in that offering, and then we take that money and we send it off to these missionaries, you are helping in preaching the gospel to all the world. Thank you. We really appreciate it, and so do they. You're taking part in the Great Commission. But I hope that your part is greater than just, well, you know what, I'll put my money in and let somebody else do it. I'm glad you do that. You put your money in. But you got to do it too. And like, oh, I don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus. I think it's more, many times, not about knowing how, but having the courage to just open your mouth and talk about the Lord. Well, I can't quote scriptures off the top of my head. Well, neither can I. I've been saved for over 30 years. 33 years I've been saved. I've been pastoring this church for 12 years. You get it in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. Do you have to have the specific scripture reference? I can give you some. But you know what? When I'm out in the world preaching and teaching and speaking and loving on people, I'm not all concerned about where it is in the Bible. I just know it is in the Bible and they need to hear it. And if it gets down to nitty-gritty where you got to know where it is in the Bible, I got this little smartphone that has a whole Bible in there, and I just search little words and find the scripture, and there it is. Use technology to your advantage. There's a reason why I believe we have technology. It's not so that we can call one another, you know, while somebody's preaching, but rather so that we can use it to advance God's kingdom. Think about that for just a moment. Every technological advancement on earth, if we would understand, I believe that God allows us to have whatever we have for the purpose of advancing His kingdom. You know that? I mean, if we are kingdom-minded, if this is all about Jesus, then it's all about Jesus. And so when all these wonderful technologies come along, we're like, oh, great, I got a new toy. No, you have a tool that you can use to advance the kingdom of God that'll help you in your preaching. If you're one of those that's like, oh, I don't know what to say, just walk up to your buddy or your friend and say, hey, you know what? I found this cool video. And you press play and they can hear somebody else preach it. You can present it to them. And the more you do that, you'll get more comfortable saying, well, you know what? Forget about that. Let me just tell you my story. Preach the gospel. He gives every believer. You know, it's our job. And then I love in verse 16 in the passage that we're reading, Jesus explains what will happen when we do preach the gospel. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so there is a little bit of an urgency here. We don't want anybody to be condemned. I don't believe God wants anybody to be condemned. He wants them to be saved. But how can they be saved if nobody's telling them about Jesus? As we sang earlier, Jesus is the only way. And we need to tell people that. And so what will happen, you're going to preach the gospel to every creature. I hope. Some are going to believe, some are not. Don't get all beat up about the ones that don't. God knows who they are. God knows what's going on in their life. Maybe it just, you know, you planted a seed. I've heard other statistics where, you know, it takes so many people in a person's life. Somebody plants the seed, somebody waters it, somebody waters it, somebody waters it. Somebody puts some shade over it, somebody puts some sunshine on it. And eventually it grows, it starts to grow. Until that day comes when somebody says, hey, do you believe the gospel? And they finally say, you know what, I think I do. And then, click some fruit. Hallelujah. Some will believe and some won't. There's a purpose in all this. Let me move on. I'm headed in a direction. How can we tell who the believers are? Now, this verse kind of scares me a little bit. verses 17 through 18. We are told how we can tell if someone is a believer. These signs will follow those who believe. This is where it gets scary. It says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In that particular portion, I believe it's talking about dealing with spiritual enemies. And if you go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says this. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I believe that's what he's talking about when he says, oh, come on, go backwards. There we go. When he says that you'll take up serpents and you'll drink anything deadly, by no means hurt you. It's talking about spiritual warfare. In verse 19, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, the thing, why does this scare me? Because when I look around the kingdom of God and I look around all the vast believers that I know, how many of them are casting out demons, and how many of them are speaking in new tongues, and how many of them are really doing spiritual warfare, and how many of them are laying their hands on the sick and seeing them recover? How many? And so I'm really curious. I have to look at my own life, and I don't want to point fingers. Many times I look at my own life. When God gives me a revelation, that revelation better be active in my life, right? Am I? I confess to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Am I casting out demons? Well, if you were at the block party last year, you would say, oh yeah, he does that. Am I speaking with new tongues? Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Am I engaged in spiritual warfare? You better believe it. Am I laying the hands on the sick and seeing them recover? I pray for the sick. I have seen some recover. Matter of fact, most of them recover. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a moment. You know, we want to see, when we pray for the sick, we want to see the instant healing, right? But how many of us have prayed for somebody who's sick and maybe it didn't happen that moment, but they did recover? Thank you, Jesus. And so rather than this scares me only because I want to make sure that there are signs that follow me that says, hey, you know what? There's a believer. And I hope that that's what you're concerned with as well. And so based on this particular gauge of who a believer is, you ask yourself the question, am I a believer? Because if you're doing these things, if this stuff is happening around you, praise God. You're doing what he told you to do. You're preaching the gospel. You're casting out demons, speaking in new tongues, engaged in spiritual warfare, praying for the sick. Those are the signs of believers. Never stop doing those things. Doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord, how mature you become in the Lord, never stop doing these things. How is it that we overcome? By the word of the Lord, or the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, is what it says. The blood of the Lamb, in that Jesus died for our sins, paid our debts for us, that's how we overcome. And the word of our testimony. What's that mean? That means what Jesus has done in our life. And that means what he continues to do in our lives. If you have the testimony of this particular gauge as a believer, if that's your testimony, praise God. You're a believer and you are advancing the kingdom of God. And one day when you stand before his throne, you'll be one that he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's really what we want, right? Nobody wants to be condemned. Well, I hope nobody wants to be condemned. But you know what? Even if you talk to a non-believer, do you want to be condemned? And they'd say, oh, I don't want to be condemned. There are some who might believe there is no condemnation. Well, guess what? There will be condemnation for those who don't believe. But let that not be you nor me. Now, verse 19, the Lord takes his place. The Lord takes his place of honor. It says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God is a place of honor. And Jesus Christ, there is nobody that deserves more honor than Jesus. And so Mark writes it down there, and he declares, you know what? Jesus Christ sits in the place of honor at the right hand of God. And then he says this in verse 20. Verse 20 talks about the disciples doing their job and Jesus working with them. He does his. It says, and then they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. What accompanying signs? Demons being cast out. Let me go to the next slide. If we model, this is a model for us to follow. We preach the gospel everywhere. Jesus will work with us and confirm the word through accompanying signs. And here are the signs. What we just read. They cast out demons, which means kick them out of your own lives and pray them out of other people's lives. You got demons in your life? I know I did before I got saved. And I know that there are still demons that want to attach themselves to me today, but guess what? They don't get to stay. Cast them right out. And you know what? I pray demons out of other people too. I pray for, you know, many of you know I go out to the jail and I minister out there in Seneca County. I pray for them guys and them girls out there. Lord, these demons in their lives, be gone in the name of Jesus. There are times when I lay hands on people and cast them demons out. There'll be times when I'll pray in my closet to cast them demons out, whatever the case may be. I hope you're a person who casts out demons. Speak with new tongues. Now, this is an area where the church actually is divided, the church as a whole. All the denominations, there's different understandings of what speaking in new tongues is all about. We in the Assemblies of God, I'm going to give you a website in a few minutes that you can go and you can do some reading on this, because we're going to talk about this next week a lot. But speaking in new tongues, if we believe that to be that as the Holy Spirit gives utterance in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when the day of Pentecost had come, they all spoke in tongues that day. And then there's great evidence throughout the Bible that talks about speaking in tongues and all of that. And so we will talk about that more next week, and that's really the direction I'm kind of headed today, just to kind of lead up to what God is going to do next week. But we will take up serpents and drink anything dangerous, it won't hurt us. And basically what I believe that's talking about is engaging in spiritual warfare based on that verse in Luke chapter 10 that we mentioned. But there are also many other verses that support the idea that you will crush the head of the serpent and he will by no means hurt you. Now, how many know when you go into spiritual warfare, sometimes you take a few licks? Right? Somebody recently came to me and was telling me all this stuff that was going on in their life. And I said, and it was because, explained to me how they're starting this new area of ministry and whatnot, and God's working in their heart, and they're really striving to move forward in this particular ministry. But all of a sudden, they got all this stuff coming at them. And my simple answer was, man, you stepped out in faith to do something for God. You better expect some opposition. But if you're doing what God has called you to do, you keep going forward, because all that opposition will not hurt you. That spiritual warfare is meant to strengthen you, not tear you down. And when you're in the middle of spiritual warfare, man, it's hard, isn't it? It is tough. Yeah, amen, brother. It says it gets your attention. Many times the things that are going on in our lives, we fail to recognize as spiritual warfare. And we just see what's going on at face value here on the earth. We go, oh my, this is terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. You better be praying about that. Why praying? Because that's where you win battles, in the heavenlies. That's where you deal with spiritual warfare. That's where you can step on, take up serpents, and they won't hurt you. And that's where you can drink deadly stuff, and it won't kill you. In the heavenlies. Trust me, there are churches out there today. In fact, today, there are churches somewhere in this country where they're picking up rattlesnakes, and they're playing with them. And I don't think that's what this verse is talking about. Trust me, we don't have a bucket of snakes anywhere in the building. Hallelujah. In fact, if you find a snake in the building, let me know. We're casting that thing out. I don't believe we... Yeah. Who's afraid of snakes? Oh, they're only just, you know... I might be afraid if they're like as long as that pew and whatnot, but... Or maybe half, maybe three chairs, maybe two chairs. But the other day, I was in the ditch doing the weeding, and a little baby snake come out and said, "Oh, look at you," and off we went. It's not a big deal. Show a little baby snake to my mother, and that thing's head's coming off, trust me. I'll never forget one time, now I'm getting off, but it was just one of those things etched in my mind when I see my mom running out of the house with an axe in her hand like a crazy woman, and she's hacking up these snakes that she found in the driveway. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. What's that? Yeah, we behaved very well after we saw Mom with an axe, let me tell you. But we also must be prepared to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Now, the means for all of this to happen, I believe, is through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that people who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit can't pray, can't preach, can't do these other things? No, please do. But we believe in the Assemblies of God that baptism in the Holy Spirit is a very real, very separate experience from the renewing of a person's heart and salvation. It's an added bonus, so to speak, of Holy Ghost power. There's a verse in Mark chapter 1:8 where John the Baptist happens to mention, and by the way, all the Gospels mention this particular principle. I just chose Mark because we're in the book of Mark today. John the Baptist said, "Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Next week, we're going to talk a lot about that. How does the Lord work with us? He works with us through His Spirit. You know, when He was here on the earth walking and talking with the disciples, you know, they had Him right there, and He was laying on His hands on the sick, and He was, you know, preaching the Word, the Old Testament, revealing Himself. "I'm the one that the prophets talked about. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God." They didn't want to believe Him, and that's why they killed Him. But when He left, He said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter." And He wants us to receive that Comforter into our lives. He wants us to receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. And we call that the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, does that mean that if you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, you're not saved if you don't receive this Holy Spirit? No. You're saved when you believe in Jesus Christ. With your heart, you confess with your mouth, He's Lord, you're saved. But I want to encourage you, church. You're going to go out into the world and you're going to preach the gospel. I really hope that's what you're going to do. You want His Spirit in you, empowering you to do just that. Why? Because there will be demons that will come along that need to be cast out. There will be serpents and deadly drinks all around you that you need God's Spirit in you to be able to discern and do battle with those things in order that you don't get hurt. There will be opportunities to speak with new tongues. And again, I'm going to talk more about that next week. There will be opportunities for you to lay hands. Guess what? The sick will come. You'll have opportunity to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. The other day, that reminds me. The other day, I went over to behind the hospital where they do dialysis. And I wanted to meet somebody over there because they called me up and they wanted me to advertise. Anybody heard of the Punches? I never heard of the Punches. That seems to be their name, the Punches. Hopefully they don't beat people up. But They're a gospel band, you know. I'm sure it's like old-time gospel type singing. And they're going to be at the Prattsburg Baptist Church on Thursday, June 15th and 20th at 7 p.m. Must be 15th, maybe 15th. Okay, I'm sorry, June 15th, 2017. I thought it was 2 days, but it's the same day. On June 15th at 7 p.m., everyone's welcome at the Prattsburg Baptist Church on this Thursday. Well, anyway, I went over to get this flyer. And it just, to me, now, the person that gave this to me, she fell in love. I did a funeral for somebody, one of their family members, and this woman just fell in love with me. And so now she keeps me abreast of whatever is going on at their church and wants us to, be blessed by whatever ministry comes along there. And so I just think, okay, well, they're way down in Prattsburg. You know, Prattsburg is like south of Naples, kind of back way toward Bath. And it's really out of the way place. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know how many people are really going to travel there on June 15th. But if you like gospel music, I encourage you to do that. But all this whole thing, it's like, okay, why? What's this all about? You know, what's this connection? And why is it I'm going to meet her, you know, at dialysis? And I was under the impression that when I get there, she was going to be there waiting for me and give me this flyer. And when I got there was nobody there except this guy sitting out in the hallway who had no legs. And I walked by and I greeted him. Okay, hi. I go in to give to get the flyer, and there's nobody in there. There's nobody in the waiting room. There's nobody in the office. And I'm just kind of like, okay. And finally, this nurse comes walking out, asks me who I am. Is looking at me kind of strange. What are you doing here? So I explain it to her. She goes back and gets the flyers, brings them back to me, and she says to me, this nurse says to me, well, the lady kind of thought that it was the pastor that was going to show up. Now, I've got, you know, it was dress down day. Let's put it that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I showed up on my motorcycle, you know, walking in. I said, well, I am the pastor. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll tell her. Yeah, please do. You know. But then on my way out, here's this guy. He says to me, you got a piece of string? And I'm like, because he's got a bag from dialysis, and he's got a bus ride to wherever he's got to go, back to Canandaigua, and he's afraid the stuff's going to fall in the bag, and he wants a piece of string to tie the bag up so the stuff won't fall out. And here he's sitting in a wheelchair. He's got no legs. He's waiting for the bus. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I have any string, but let me go out to my vehicle and see what I got. So I go out, and I had some electrical tape. Hallelujah. Electrical tape is a good thing to have in your vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle, car, whatever. It's just good to have a piece of tape every now and again. You might have to tape a mirror on. You might have to do whatever. Duct tape's even better if you need something a little stronger, but I happen to have electrical tape. So I go in, and I wrap the guy's thing up with electrical tape, and then I just sat there and listened. I didn't have to say much. And then I knew why all of this encounter, all of this connection, all of this, it was just so that I could go and pray for this man, hear his story, share Jesus with him, and just let him know that somebody in the world cares. You know what? Sometimes it takes a little dose of the Spirit of God for you to take 10 minutes out of your day to find those encounters and to hear God's voice and to minister to somebody's life. You know, while we're sitting there, he complained after complaining. He goes, I think I was born to complain. And I'm like, you know, and I just shared a little love to him with him. No, you were born for way much more than that, brother. Looking for somebody who likes to fish. He's got a boat. You need somebody to go fishing with. I'll give you his name. He does dialysis 3 times a week, but other than that, he wants to go fishing. He'd love to have a fishing buddy. We'll talk about that. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit wants to do something awesome in this world, in you and through you. That whole portion that I read there in Mark was really to get to verse 20. They went and they preached the gospel everywhere, and Jesus worked with them. And he confirmed what they and he was doing through signs. I want more of that in my life. And I hope that you want more of that too. Amen. Next week we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The reason why it's next week is because it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost being the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And so I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. In the meantime, I put a web address. It's kind of small because I wanted it all to fit on one line. I'll leave that up there. You can go take a look at it, write it down, or take a picture of it on your phone. And if you want to know what the Assemblies of God believes about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, go to that link right there, and you will find out. I was going to, you know, print some stuff off, but it's like too many pages, so I'm not going to do that. You can go there, and you can read it for yourself, and this can be like your little homework before next week's service so that you have an idea what it is I'm going to be talking about. And so I encourage you to do that. In the meantime, stand with me. It's a beautiful Memorial Day at this point. Hopefully the rain will hold off. I trust that you all will go and enjoy your families. And while you're there, I challenge you. Preach the gospel. There's a challenge. How am I going to do that? Well, ask the Holy Spirit to work through you. It says, the Lord worked with them. Say, Lord, I really need your help right now. I need you to work with me as I go and preach the gospel, even to my friends and family in today's picnic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word, for this challenge in our lives. Lord, we want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. John said he would baptize us with water, and we get baptized in water when we come to believe in you. But Lord, we want to be baptized by your Spirit so that we could cast out demons and speak in tongues and take up serpents and drink deadly stuff and not be harmed and lay our hands on the sick and see them healed. We want evidence in our lives, Lord God, that we are believers of you, and we can't do it on our own. We need you to work with us. Or more, maybe you need us to work with you. But God, let that be us. Everyone in this place who calls himself a believer, let that be us, God. Empower us. Work with us as we go forth by faith and preach the gospel. I pray an anointing on each person in this place. God, that your Spirit would so fill us that we wouldn't be able to contain your love, that we would pour it out on the lost and all of those that we encounter, no matter where it is. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you again for those who have died for us, you, Jesus, and the men and women who have served this country. But most of all, God, I thank you for your Spirit that lives inside of me and helps me every single day as I serve you in your kingdom. I thank you, Lord. Bless each one today. Bless each one's family as we go out today to minister. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. I hope you enjoy this afternoon. Again, next week.